got down into, you know, some of the corners behind some of the tables.
Cesar Marquez was in a student union building when shots rang out.
It was definitely scary. There was a lot of adrenaline pumping. We kind of just kind of stayed close together.
A law enforcement official tells CBS News the gunman, who also died, was a former professor who was turned down in his bid for a job at UNLV. Police have not identified the victims. All classes at the college have been paused indefinitely. At last night's Republican presidential face-off in Alabama,
with Donald Trump once again missing, Nikki Haley was the primary target at the Tuscaloosa debate on News Nation. But she did get support against some of the attacks coming at her from Vivek Ramaswamy.
He has insulted Nikki Haley's basic intelligence.
Chris Christie not stopping there.
The fourth debate that you would be voted in the first 20 minutes as the most obnoxious blowhard in America.
Drawing this Ramaswamy response.
Chris, your version of foreign policy experience was closing a bridge from New Jersey to New York. Yeah.
And so it went. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Senate Republicans have blocked legislation that would have sent billions of dollars in new aid to Ukraine and Israel, with GOP lawmakers protesting lack of funding for border security. CBS's Nancy Cordes from the White House.
What they want are sweeping concessions on immigration policy. But the president had some harsh words for them. He said Ukraine is going to lose its fight against Russia without more American help soon.
In the Middle East, people in Gaza, South Gaza, digging through the rubble, searching for survivors and bodies after Israeli strikes on the Rafah refugee camp. Israel says troops have surrounded the home of a Hamas leader in Gaza. He's believed to be hiding underground. For Washington Post readers, today's edition might look a little stale. 750 staffers were expected to walk off their jobs this morning in the biggest labor protest at the paper in almost half a century, after reaching a stalemate with the company at the bargaining table. Things are looking up, way up, for Yankees fans.
Soto in the air to right field. Back goes Brown at the wall. Juan Soto has his first grand slam.
New York's just acquired the superstar slugger along with outfielder Trent Grisham in a blockbuster trade with the Padres on the heels of what Yankees GM Brian Cashman calls a disaster of a season. S&P futures are down 1. Dow futures off 78. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call says he's pleased with a Dane County judge's ruling essentially restoring abortion rights in Wisconsin.
The 1849 law does not prohibit abortions in Wisconsin. And so we have now gone a long way to restoring access to safe and legal abortion in Wisconsin.
Judge Diane Schlipping says Wisconsin's law enacted in 1849 bans infanticide, not abortion. The ruling is expected to be appealed. People younger than 18 seeking gender-affirming care in Wisconsin will keep getting it. Governor Evers vetoed on Wednesday a ban passed by the legislature this fall. Most major medical associations say gender-affirming care is evidence-based and saves lives. Evers says he'll veto any bill he considers anti-LGBTQ. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers getting ready for Monday night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers return to practice after an extra day of rest. They're going to face the Giants on Monday Night Football. We hope to hear more on how wide receiver Christian Watson is doing after leaving the Chiefs game Sunday night with a hamstring injury. The Bucks are in Vegas for the semifinals of the NBA's in-season tournament. Milwaukee against the high-scoring Pacers. College hoops, the Badgers on the road Saturday to take on the new number one, Arizona. Wisconsin coming off wins against Marquette and Michigan State. Are their bench players improving? Greg Gard.
I think that's something this team is developing as we go through the early part of this season. The depth has something to do with that, that I can run lines in, and they're able to keep our, you know, our upperclassmen a little fresher. Younger guys, whether it's been, you know, Gilmore and Winter come in as the first line there, but we're able to continue to attack because we're fresh.
That's Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, 50 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, lows in the mid-30s. Partly sunny and back to the upper 40s to near 50 on Friday. Friday night, some rain late, 31. Then some rain and snow possible for your Saturday. Breezy with a high of 37. Right now, it's 28.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
It's true. I am at the Lake Wissota studio. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Thursday, December 7th. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north. From wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, live on social media, or on demand through a podcast. Nice to have you here. I've got a question for you. With Norman Lear's passing, can TV be as thought-provoking and edgy and funny all at once? Or was it an impact at his level that something gets done like that only once? That kind of impact at that kind of level gets done once. Everything else is in his shadow. Think about that. I know somebody who has some thoughts, and we're going to find out about that from him in literally seconds. But first, more about this morning's show. The title of our show, Fake Around and Find Out. The 10 Republicans who agreed to be fake Trump electors only met for a few minutes in the state capitol 3 years ago this month. But the fraud they committed that day will follow them for a long time to come, now that they have settled a lawsuit accusing them of conspiring to defraud voters. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki in a little bit. In our second hour, Hometown Health seeking a new generation of nurses. Wisconsin's healthcare challenges include that severe shortage of nurses, which was already daunting before the pandemic because of demographics. Then you add COVID and all of the early retirements after that. We're going to learn about the efforts being made to attract and train a new generation of caregivers. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along with that. Weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki joins us as well to talk about a big warm-up in store. And it's Thursday, so we'll talk to Luke Mathers and find out what else you should be learning about and listening to across the Civic Media Radio Network. Along the way, if you're one of those folks who can, you know, get the sleep out of your eyes and the frog out of your throat and want to get on the phone here, our number is 844-967-2789. You can call that number or text it. You can use the Civic Media app to do one of those things as well. You can send us a note by email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And you can leave a comment on one of the social media pages. A lot of you watch through the Up North News Facebook page, but also the Civic Media Facebook page. There's others out there as well. So no shortage of ways to catch the show, and we're glad that you do. Temperatures this morning across Wisconsin on par with where they were about this time yesterday. So the big warm-up is not here yet, but Lake Wissota, we're here at 28 degrees right now on 93.5 The Tap in Chippewa Falls. Hayward, folks listening to Buzz of the North, it's 26 degrees. Park Falls is at 24. Bull Falls radio listeners in Wausau, you're at 29 degrees. Green Bay, 34. La Crosse, 34. Wisconsin Rapids, 32. Oshkosh is at 36. Madison at 35.
and it is 32 degrees right now in Waukesha, where we find Greg Bach standing by, who left us in a bit of a lurch here yesterday. Todd and I were talking about Norman Lear, and mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of a trailblazer, and mm-hmm. you could, things like this could never be done again. And the last thing we hear is, I disagree. It's like, we're out of time, Greg. We're out of time. So, Greg, the next 1 hour and 50 minutes is all yours. Go ahead.
All right. Well, folks, strap in. It's the Pat Kreitlow Show starring Greg Bach today. I thought about what I had said to you both as we were signing off yesterday, and I have an addendum to that statement.
The gentleman from Waukesha would like to amend his remarks.
Thank you. I reclaim my time. And not only do I vehemently disagree with what both of you said, but you are both absolutely dead wrong.
Okay. That's great. So we hope you enjoyed listening to Greg Bach. Let's turn to sports now at 6:10. No.
With regard to that is especially I work in comedy. That's my industry. That's my area of expertise. Mm-hmm. It is a topic that is routinely brought up. You can't do that today. You couldn't make this today. Well, the biggest example is always Blazing Saddles. Everyone always goes to Blazing Saddles.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with Lenny Bruce when you talked about comedy, but there's pioneers in all these areas.
Yeah.
Lenny Bruce for stand-up, Mel Brooks for movies, Norman Lear for TV.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, go ahead with Blazing Saddles.
Lenny Bruce, I can go to an open mic on any given night and I can see someone bashing religion or swearing on stage or, you know, finding their artistic voice. And that is great. They are descendants of Lenny Bruce, George Carlin, Richard Pryor, so on and so forth. Things like when we're talking about the TV shows, I mean, we can't forget that Norman Lear executive produced and remade One Day at a Time on Netflix. Yes. With a new cast. It was a uh-huh. Latino cast, Latinx cast, talking about the struggles of their day. I watched the show and I liked it. I thought it was very, very funny, and it wasn't heavy handed in my opinion, but it definitely baked in the experience of that culture in the everyday life. We like to talk about things like All in the Family. They've made shows that have that, you know, kind of bumpkin father figure who says the wrong things and does the wrong things. And because he hasn't used the same language, I still think that they owe a debt of gratitude to what Norman Lear helped build as far as expressing cultural and racial and gender role struggles in our country, at least. I can't speak for other countries, but I think you absolutely can, and they have done it. They have made very impactful shows, and I would say, yeah, they stand in the shadow, or they owe a debt of gratitude to Norman Lear. As far as movies go, I mean, let's just say it right here. No one wants a remake of Blazing Saddles, regardless of the topic. It just... Reboots.
Well, but it's not about a remake. It's again about taking something in society mm-hmm. and giving it the mockery that it deserves, because up until that point, everybody was afraid to call it out. Mel Brooks called it out. Norman Lear called it out. What's the kind of thing today that people are very reluctant to touch and is just dying for somebody to come on and show that the emperor has no clothes, but make you laugh along the way?
Well, one, we do have programming that does that. We talk like there a lot of programs now will deal with subject matters as far as like homophobia, transphobia. I think where instead of looking at like sitcoms, we're getting a lot of that from our late night political comedy shows are looking mm-hmm. at topic matters and really like dressing them down, exposing the truth, while also tying in jokes. And one of the things that, you know, I Blazing Saddles is a wonderful movie. And I want to go back to that for a second, because Mel Brooks did make that film. He directed it. He produced it. But he sat in a room with three other writers and he said, we cannot write a movie about racial prejudice with four Jewish men writing it. We need a voice. And that voice was Richard Pryor. And that's the important thing we have to remember, is that nowadays we are making movies and TV shows that are exposing hypocrisies and the various prejudices, but those rooms are filled with creators who reflect the message they're in, whether it's, you know, people of color, people from the queer community, people, you know, immigrant families, things of that nature. So while Norman Lear did take the reins and he moved us forward, he opened the doors up for other creators to tell their stories then, because it's important to remember that if we're going to talk about injustices, we have to speak to those who the injustices are being committed against. And they're the ones writing these shows now, and they're the ones producing and making these films. So it's not as pointed. And there's also so much of it now. There is no real one, like, what is the beacon
there's no
shining?
One gatekeeper. Yeah. There were three gatekeepers, you know, at the three networks, and that was it. Your point is completely spot on that. Yeah. It's not just what he did on screen. He opened up the door of the writer's room, mm-hmm, and said, come in and tell us your experiences, and, you know, let us help you, because we understand a thing or two about writing and making people laugh too.
Yeah.
But we can't do it without your experiences.
Yeah.
And at that point, Robin Voss came in and said, we're against this kind of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And he withheld all the money from the studios, and there were no more movies.
Pat Kreitlow, I just gotta say,
thank you very much. Yeah.
That was very, very good, Pat.
When we unpack the news in a bit, we'll get into how Devin Lemieux, the Senate Republican leader, is continuing to distance himself from Assembly Speaker Voss. But we're not ready to quite make that pivot yet. I just want to say thanks again. That was excellent in helping explain, you know, what was different about then and now, what all Norman Lear did, and that of course there's people that can still be edgy. Of course, there's people that can still be hold up a mirror to society. But I think we both in our different ways expressed our gratitude to a true pioneer.
Absolutely. He was 101 and I was still sad. I'm like, yeah, he's 101, but I'm like, no.
Oh, best social media post from last night was pointing out that he made it to 101. Bob Hope made it to 100. George Burns made it to 100. The list just went on and said, maybe making people laugh is the thing that's ultimately best for you.
I'm going to live to 150.
I'm surprised I've made it this long.
Oh,
it's 6:17. Let's turn now to what's in the Up North News Daily newsletter. You can sign up for that at upnorthnewswi.com. And on this December 7th, we do remember Pearl Harbor. We talk about Wisconsin's connections to Pearl Harbor in today's issue. Christina Laurie has a story about a Vietnam veteran from Oconomowoc turned author. And then I have an article that summarizes our interview earlier this year with John Kinville, who wrote a book about Harry Kramer, a young man from Chippewa Falls that, frankly, nobody in this day and age had heard of in Chippewa Falls because he was long gone. His family had pretty much all moved out of town. But the discovery of a box of his letters to and from Pearl Harbor brought back the life, metaphorically, of this young Chippewa Falls man. And John Kinville wrote a book about Harry Kramer's life leading up to Pearl Harbor before he was lost on that December 7th. We had that interview earlier this year, and we are going to play that back tomorrow morning at 7:30. Mark Jacob is off this week, and so in the 7:30 spot tomorrow, we'll play back our conversation with John Kinville about Pearl Harbor hero Harry Kramer. Take a break here and unpack the news wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north. Come on back up to the lake right after this.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
She whispered in my ear something crazy. She said,
in today's history lesson, about a half hour from now, we'll tell you why Eric Burton is part of today's rundown. Stick around for that. A couple of sports notes. Former Brewers catcher Victor Caratini has signed a deal to go to the Houston Astros. The Milwaukee Bucks are in the semifinal of the in-season tournament in Las Vegas this afternoon against the Indiana Pacers. It's a 4 o'clock tip-off Central Time. You should be able to hear that game on Oshkosh Air Support, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country on the Civic Media Radio Network. The 8th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team defeated Texas last night at the Fiserv Forum, 86-65. They will host Notre Dame on Saturday night. The Badgers are idle until Saturday when they travel to Arizona to take on the number-one-ranked team in the country. The NCAA volleyball tournament continues today with the Sweet 16 and the Badgers hosting number 5 seed Penn State. Penn State was one of only 3 teams to beat the Badgers in the regular season just about a month ago. If they beat the Nittany Lions, they would host a regional final on Saturday for a chance to go to the Final Four in Tampa starting on December 14th. All right, there's a lot going on in the world. It's a lot to unpack, but we try to unpack the news every morning during this half hour for you. And the big story after we left you yesterday was the news that the fake electors in Wisconsin had reached a settlement in a civil lawsuit that had been filed against them by some of the actual electors, the genuine electors, the rightful electors who were suing them for defrauding you, for defrauding the voters of Wisconsin, and, you know, conspiring essentially to steal an election. And those fake electors have now settled that suit in a way that has a lot of impact. And we're going to talk much more with Joe Zepecki about that coming up in just a bit. But the overview is this: to settle the civil lawsuit, the fake electors have rescinded their false claims that Donald Trump, quote unquote, won the 2020 election. They have agreed to cooperate with investigators who are continuing to look into the efforts to overturn the election. They will not serve as electors in 2024 or in any election if Donald Trump is on the ballot. All of this was in a story that was, I believe, first broken by Patrick Marley of the Washington Post, formerly with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The settlement was filed yesterday in Dane County Circuit Court and included previously unreleased photos and text messages all about how the fake electors gathered in December of 2020 to sign that fraudulent paperwork claiming that Trump had won Wisconsin's electoral votes when obviously Joe Biden had defeated Trump narrowly, but accurately and fairly by about 21,000 votes. Excuse me, just a second. Take a little sip of coffee here. Occupational hazard. We already know that the special congressional committee that was investigating the insurrection had already provided details of the plans that were made by Trump and his campaign to create these alternate slates of electors, part of an effort to either have the election outcome changed during a joint session of Congress on that fateful January 6th, or at least cast things in doubt and send things back to state legislatures conceivably, to pick electors who did not represent the way that the voters had actually chosen. Now, the Trump campaign did this in 7 states. Wisconsin's actually the first one to have Trump supporters legally revoke their false claims and agree not to do so in a future election. And that's interesting because Wisconsin's also one of the few states that, as far as we know, there is not a criminal investigation going on. In other states, some of the fake electors are already facing felony criminal charges against them. We don't know what's happening here because the Wisconsin Department of Justice and Attorney General Josh Call have said, well, we don't comment on ongoing investigations. We don't confirm or deny that there is an investigation. So the honest answer is we don't know. It has frustrated some people. It's frustrated many people. But this civil lawsuit to get this kind of agreement from the fake electors and these kinds of acknowledgments, this is a big deal. And it again is, even though it's 3 years later, an indication that, you know, justice will not be denied for the people who tried to steal an American election and essentially plot a coup. Now, there are Republicans who are still trying to tell their fellow Republicans about this and to try to give up the cult of personality that surrounds Donald Trump. But as we can see in the latest polling, the people who were on that stage, that debate stage in Alabama last night, they're still 40 points or more behind in Republican polling. Well, they tried to debate anyway, and they just all ended up shouting at each other, especially Vivek Ramaswamy, who was given quite the verbal spanking by Chris Christie, who finally told him in so many words what a, you know, blowhard and a pipsqueak he was, and nobody likes him, and the crowd certainly applauded. You know my feelings on crowds at debates, but that was a refreshing round of applause to hear. But still, they're all having a tough time helping Republican voters see that maybe nominating Trump again isn't the best or the right thing to do. Even the leader of Republicans in the Wisconsin State Senate, Devin Lemahue, said as much in a recent interview. He said that his preference is for former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, but he stopped short of calling it an endorsement. And I don't want to split hairs, you know, at 6:27 in the morning, but if you publicly express a preference for somebody, that's an endorsement. And Lemahue did say with all humility that sometimes his endorsements haven't always panned out, and that's why he was reluctant to make an endorsement, but he did express a preference, and he did express the thought that Haley or almost anybody else had the potential to be more successful as a nominee than Donald Trump. But it was his unwillingness to go further, to be more forceful in those comments, that made Lemahue not much different than a couple of those other Republicans on stage who are trying to be too cute by half in not offending Trump supporters. Chris Christie is pretty much the only one willing to try to grab fellow Republicans by the shoulders and shake them and say, he's a crook, he's selfish, he doesn't care about you, he's not one of us. What is it going to take? And it clearly is going to take more because Chris Christie is nowhere near winning the nomination. So this will be the last debate for a while. But as long as too many other Republicans are just far too timid about this, Donald Trump is heading toward a nomination that he may or may not be able to fulfill, depending on whether he gets convicted of felonies between now and Election Day. So we'll talk to Joe Zepecki in a bit about the fake electors. And a little later on, we'll talk to Kristen Lierley. We find out that the Sheboygan County DA did announce yesterday that he will appeal that case about the 1849 abortion statute, and much more still ahead on this Thursday morning, December 7th. This is Up North News Radio. We'll be back in a bit.
And just before she dropped it, she said...
93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Police in Las Vegas have identified the man who killed three people at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, as a former professor who'd taught at two other colleges. Sheriff Kevin McMahill.
Armed confrontation of the suspect by law enforcement stopped the suspect's further actions.
He died. Four Republican presidential candidates, minus the front runner, held their fourth debate. Chris Christie on News Nation.
This is the problem with my three colleagues. They're afraid to offend. If you're afraid to offend Donald Trump, then what are you going to do when you sit across from Putin?
Republicans in the Senate have blocked more aid to Israel and Ukraine. The BBC's Jessica Parker has been talking to people in Kyiv.
They feel they are fighting a wider battle, protecting Europe, as one Ukrainian woman put to me. So I think it's quite hard for them to contemplate any prospect that further Western support won't come through.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's fake Republican electors are admitting Joe Biden won the presidency in 2020. It's part of a civil lawsuit settlement announced Wednesday. The fake electors also agree not to serve on the Electoral College in 2024. It's the first time any fake electors from anywhere in the country are admitting to wrongdoing. Governor Evers signed 48 bills into law on Wednesday. Included in those bills are a slate of changes to voting ahead of next year's election. One of those bills changes the deadlines for clerks to send out absentee ballots. Another would require clerks to retain video footage of election night proceedings for 22 months. Evers also vetoed several election-related bills, including one that would change who could be declared indefinitely confined and another that would have lowered the cost of registered voting lists. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, 50 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, lows in the mid-30s. Partly sunny and back to the upper 40s to near 50 on Friday. Friday night, some rain late, 31. Then some rain and snow possible for your Saturday. Breezy with a high of 37. Currently, 26 degrees.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap. UK.
mentioned it earlier, it's time to talk fake electors again, but this time I get to do it with Joe Zepecki as we look at this week's news headlines. Joe, the real Joe, not anything fake about this guy. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
Yeah. All right. So I think that there are some people who are saying that the civil lawsuit against these fake electors, you know, the actual electors were seeking financial damages. I don't think that was the point. I think the point was actually what we got, you know, on Wednesday, rescinding a claim and cooperating with investigators. This seemed to me like probably the best possible outcome for a civil lawsuit against the fake electors. What do you make of it?
I tend to agree. Accountability comes in lots of different ways. And sometimes it is more important that there is accountability than what that accountability exactly looks like. I think in this case, it's a little bit of both. The 10 individuals who signed those documents and the attorneys who advised them, they all did something wrong. Even if they didn't understand just how wrong it was at the moment, in hindsight, after learning about the multi-pronged coordinated assault and attempt by Trump and his cronies to overturn the 2020 election, it had to become crystal clear for all of these fake electors in Wisconsin and anywhere else that they found themselves at the center of a plot that would have ended the American experiment. And so I, for one, am really, really glad to see acknowledgement and expressly stating that. They are, in this sworn statement as part of the settlement, agreeing not just that they will coordinate with it, you know, cooperate with any investigations that are ongoing, and that they will not be electors for anyone in 2024, and they will never be electors for Donald Trump. They are saying this was part of an effort to unlawfully overturn the 2020 election won by Joe Biden. I don't know that there's much that can convince the folks on the way MAGA right who believe we should do what Donald Trump wants to do and suspend the Constitution and reinstate him today. I don't know that we can persuade them. But for any other Republican who is still wondering, is Donald Trump worth it again? Today should be a clarion call, a clear signal. Absolutely not. This was an attempt to overturn an election. And the Republicans at the center of it have admitted as much.
Some will say that a settlement to the civil lawsuit is the best outcome, or the outcome that we should settle for and be happy with. Others will say, no, this was of such magnitude that if there's not a criminal case against them, then the State Department of Justice should be starting one. Or if there is, that they should be criminally prosecuted. Where are you in terms of whether this deserves a criminal follow-up, or if this civil case gets us as far as we want to or need to go?
I am confident that those with the right perspective, approach, background, education, and all of that who are prosecutors have looked at this thoroughly and have determined the criminal stuff isn't going to happen for Wisconsin. And I come to that conclusion and am comfortable with that conclusion based on my background in government and politics and as a communicator and in sort of interpreting the tea leaves. And watching very closely things like the January 6th committee hearings, which suggested to me that different sets of fake electors, state by state, were told different things in the heat of the moment in December of 2020. What do I mean by that? I mean there were sets of electors who were flat out lied to and said, we have to do this and we have to do this now. There were other sets of electors that said, it doesn't matter that your state wasn't close, like in New Mexico. We have to do this because it's the only way we can keep Trump in power. And they went along with it anyways. And there were states like Wisconsin where they were told this is only to preserve a legal remedy if, you know, later today, the Supreme Court or a future case in court overturns the election results. And so that's a nuance, and it may not be super gratifying, but I trust Josh Call. I trust Jack Smith. I trust the prosecutors near and far who have been looking at this. And I am today feeling pretty content with how this has all resolved so far, with the caveat, of course, that Jim Troupas and Ken Cheesebrough and Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump are all getting their day in court to try to defend themselves against an egregious, you know, intentional undermining of American democracy. And they have not yet all faced their accountability. That day of reckoning is coming, and it has to happen. I can live with where we are today. This feels like one step closer to finally, you know, getting to full and total accountability.
But when it comes to accountability, and it comes all the way up to Donald Trump, never mind the fake electors, let's go all the way to the top of the food chain on this. You instead have a former president running for president who twice by Sean Hannity was spoon-fed the ability to say, I'm not a dictator, I'm not going to abuse my power. And he of course, went on and said, oh, on day one, of course I'm going to be a dictator, to which I know you have friends and associates who will say, Joe, don't take him literally like that. They aren't still saying that, are they?
Less and less all the time, because we're seeing more and more in plain view what he is proposing and what he would do if returned to the White House. We have Kash Patel, who would almost assuredly be the director of the CIA in a next Trump term, saying they are going to not just spy on, but go after members of the media and civilians who are part of the deep state plot against Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That is fascistic. Okay. You have Mark Esper, the former Secretary of Defense, just within the last 2 days coming out and saying where he began to break with Trump was in June of 2020, when the president was pushing him to deploy American soldiers, troops, regular army soldiers, not the National Guard, to deploy on American streets, and wanted to know if he could give an order to shoot American protesters exercising their constitutionally protected rights of assembly and protest and speech. And so we are hearing from those who worked closely with Trump in the past what he did that we didn't know before, which is scary. We are hearing what he will do in the future. And we have the man himself in his bid to return to that office telling us what he's going to do. He literally can't help himself, because what Hannity was trying to do the other night was allow him to just put it to bed. Hey, Donnie boy, if you just say it once, just say it right, the big liberal media, they can all stop, you know, with this conspiracy that you're going to be some kind of wannabe dictator. And he can't even take the get out of jail free card.
No.
Which, you know, and that might be the last one he's offered, because I have a feeling that a Fulton County jury and a judge in New York aren't going to be offering cards like that. But that's the irrepressible catastrophe that is the mind of Donald Trump. And it is why we are at such a precarious moment, less than a year out from a presidential election.
Hope you caught the word of the day in that response. Fascistic, I believe, is the word you used. And that takes me to the proposal by the chair of the State Senate Elections Committee. Ostensibly, it was to transfer election power to the Wisconsin Secretary of State, but then you actually read the bill and it would actually give the power to the standing committees of the Wisconsin legislature. The kind of nonsense, fascistic nonsense that was discussed in the wake of the 2020 election. And it seems to be a reminder that, much like Trump, there are members of the Wisconsin legislature who would go there if given the chance.
So I would disagree with you a little bit. I don't think this falls into fascistic. This is just stupid. This is just plain, flat, dumb. Because try to communicate to anyone in the state of Wisconsin with a straight face that the answer to whatever challenges exist in our in election administration in Wisconsin, that the answer is more involvement by partisan politicians with R's or D's after the name. You can't do it. It makes no sense that the answer is more politics. I just, and so this isn't going anywhere. This isn't going to happen. The Wisconsin Elections Commission, a Republican idea, right, which is a bipartisan, which can sometimes lead to some challenges and frustrations, but in 2020 and in 2022 led to really well-run elections despite a global pandemic, despite the disinformation commander-in-chief running for re-election. They figured it out. They did it well. And so Evers has already said he would not veto this. I have a hard time believing this is even going to come to a vote. It is just more nonsense from the nonsense wing of the Republican Party, who feels like they need to continually stoke their base, which I just, it's not my job to give free advice to Republicans, but I'm just here to warn them, which I do every once in a while. The more you do this, the less likely it is your own voters are going to ever go out and vote. If you convince them that their vote doesn't count and that everything is broken, even though it's not, what's going to stop them from staying home? They're making their own jobs harder. And it's like the definition of insanity. They continue to do the same stupid thing over and over again, and they continue to lose statewide elections here in Wisconsin. So I don't know. Maybe, it's the end of the year. I can feel my blood pressure rising. Pat, you're doing this to me again.
Can't do that.
I should be more hopeful and optimistic. It's the best time of the year, and we're starting a new year. Maybe they'll figure it out. Maybe they'll have a come to Jesus as they celebrate Jesus as Christmas approaches.
Could be. Last stop. People may ask, why do we have a bicameral legislature? Why don't we just have one, parliament? Why do we have a Senate and an assembly? And in part, it's for my entertainment, because over the years, there have been times to watch people in the Senate and people in the assembly of the same party disagree for whatever reasons. Might be philosophical, just might be turf. I saw it as a Democratic legislator. Now we continue to see it with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Republican Leader Devin Lemahieu, this time on Voss holding hostage the UW pay raises. Lemahieu, again, this is not the first time he has said he disagrees with Speaker Voss on something. They've never gotten bitter about it. My question to you is, now that Lemahieu is saying this publicly, do we think that Voss is going to back off of holding these UW pay raises hostage?
No. I don't even need that long to think about it. I am increasingly of the mind that Speaker Voss understands his role in all of this better than any of us give him credit for, which is he's like, yeah, I'm the Grinch who stole Christmas last year. I'll be the Grinch who steals Christmas this year and next year. That is his role to play, his burden to bear. And so he's fine with that. And I think he's probably getting heads up from Majority Leader Lemahieu that he's going to break with him. And he's saying, that's okay, because you can say it, you can vote that way. I'm never going to do it in the assembly. And he's just comfortable wearing that Grinch hat, which is too bad. I hope this holiday season, his heart grows a little larger than three sizes too small.
I hope so. But instead, I'm going through the entire Assembly caucus roster right now, trying to figure out who plays the role of little Max the dog to Robin Voss's Grinch. We'll save that discussion for another time. Joseph Pecky, thank you so much. As always, have a great day.
You too.
The reason I have a tough time with this, Greg, is that Robin Voss is like the size of Max the dog. I could see
you
playing
just
that role. Again, nobody has more fun than we do casting these things. Like if Civic Media were the cast of Gilligan's Island, who's the skipper and who's the professor? We used to do Love Boat casting at the TV station, where was I Captain Steubing and, who was Julie McCoy? You love these things. So yeah, I would love to cast I would love to do casting games with the Wisconsin legislature. Nerd alert. Today's history lesson is coming up right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
An RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
Oh, oh, oh.
Everybody's doing it.
Everybody, not everybody was kung fu fighting.
You took my joke.
I know. It's out there all the time now. On top of that, it's just wildly not politically correct anymore. So Carl Douglas had a 2-week run at the top of the charts on this day in 1974. This was not planned to be a hit single. It was the B-side of some other song. It didn't do well. A bunch of DJ goofballs played the B-side, and, you know, the rest is history.
I bet you Carl just wrote this really heartfelt song about love or the times, and he's like, this will reshape the conversation.
I should have looked. Now we have to find out what's on the A-side of this.
I'll look.
Dreadful early 70s hit. So,
sending Greg down the rabbit hole.
There you go. He's off. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us this morning as well. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. We'll talk about hometown health coming up at 7:30 in just a bit here. First, we'll continue going through today's history lesson. It was on this day in 1787 that Delaware took the bragging rights of becoming the first state by being the first state to ratify the U.S. Constitution. Of course, we've already mentioned the Pearl Harbor attack this day in 1941, and that we will play back our interview with John Kinville tomorrow morning at 7:30 about a Chippewa Falls sailor who was lost in the attack. Born this day in 1942 was Harry Chapin. Of course, everybody of a certain age knows his hit.
You see, she was gonna be an actress, and I was gonna learn to fly. She took off to find the footlights.
Every baby boomer has played the song at 11 at some point, looking back on their life, going, oh my God, what's happened to me? I'm like these guys in the song Taxi.
He has a lot of songs that make you go, oh God, my life sucks.
Right, like Cats in the Cradle. Yeah. Like, oh, the worst, I wasted all that time.
The worst father.
He did write a sequel to Taxi. You remember what it was called? It was called Sequel. He literally called the song
Sequel. Oh, I thought it was called Uber.
No. Go listen to that at some point. The late Ted Knight was born on this day 100 years ago. Do you know him as Ted Baxter? Do you know him as Judge Schmales from Caddyshack? You know, he had a great little sitcom, too. I don't have it in front of me.
Too Close for Comfort. Daughters.
Yeah. Anyway, Ted Knight, born this day in 1923, passed away in 1986. Basketball legend Larry Bird is 67 today. Singer Sarah Bareilles is 44 and is still getting a lot of mileage out of her first big hit. Aaron Carter was born this day in 1987. Recall he passed away a year ago, far too young. His brother Nick Carter, a member of the Backstreet Boys. I mentioned Eric Burdon earlier. He announced on this day in 1968 that he was going to be leaving the Animals and joining a new band. We played his one hit with War earlier. He really had a good thing going with the Animals and probably could have stayed and made more hits like this.
Yeah, we gotta get out.
again, one of those songs that no young man has not turned up to 11. On this day in 1972, Apollo 17, the last Apollo moon mission, was launched. The crew would take the photograph known as the Blue Marble as they leave planet Earth. This was, again, one of those where they wheeled the TVs, you know, into the cafeteria so that everybody can watch and, you know, still marvel, because it was still a marvel. What, 3 years after Apollo 11, we were landing things on the moon. They were playing golf on the moon. They were driving cars on the moon. Why aren't we on the moon anymore?
And
we were sitting in cafeterias watching little tiny TVs. Remember how little the TVs were?
Yes. Yeah.
Back in the day.
Very grainy little black and white pictures. Yes.
I have an update, by the way, on Carl Douglas.
Yes. Mm.
The Kung Fu Fighting was the B-side to his single, I Want to Give You My Everything. Mm. And here's the sad part. His first single was Kung Fu Fighting. His second single was called Dance the Kung Fu.
Oh.
They just told him, this is your life now, Carl.
Yep, congratulations. You've been pigeonholed. You may do nothing but this for the rest of time. But hey, cash the checks, you know. The number one song this day in 1985 was by Mr. Mister. Kristen's dying to get in here. Are you playing along with the song, or do you have a point to make?
I've got a little percussion toy that I'm playing with.
Oh, the little shaker thing? Okay, gotcha. And the number one song this day in 1996 was by Toni Braxton.
Unbreak my heart. This is a slow skate jam.
Oh, yeah. This song stayed number one for 11 weeks in 1996. Had a little staying power, Toni Braxton.
This was one of those songs where you're like, all right, I can't hear this song. You turn on the next station, you're like, oh, they're playing it too.
So true. So those are your number ones this day in history. December 7th, National Letter Writing Day, National Civil Aviation Day, and this one's puzzling, National Cotton Candy Day. Doesn't that strike you as more of a summer thing, not a December 7th?
Yeah.
Why are we celebrating cotton candy today?
Unless it came out of, like, you know, Australia.
Fair point. I mean.
Okay, yes.
It's summer in Australia.
Sure. No, yep. We're not making fun of you. That's a perfectly legitimate. that was just like, we just served it up. You're like, out of the park right there. Maybe Australia.
And National Letter Writing Day. Apart
from
signing.
What's a letter?
Like, right. Except for signing Christmas cards. When was the last time you hand wrote a letter, put it in an envelope, stuck a stamp on it, and sent it to somebody? And by the way, let me amend it further. When you did that, and it wasn't like a love note to a crush or something like that, like an actual just, hey, how are you piece of correspondence.
One of my high school kids came home the other day and told me that they talked about how to write letters and practiced writing letters in school.
To whom it may concern.
The sad thing is, I want to write letters. I would love to have one pen pal. But if I wrote the letters, it would always be in, like, Ken Burns' house. Dearest Timothy, I hope this message finds you in the best of spirits in this Christmas heat season.
And I no longer have the handwriting for it. I could send it, and I'd get this note back, and it would simply say, dude, what?
What are you, a doctor?
can't make out what it is. Kristen's going to tell us more about hometown health at 7:30 in our next hour of Up North News Radio on this Thursday. Back in a bit. Life is so cruel without you here beside me.
Unbreak my heart. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5. The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.